This episode is brought to you by Sheffield All Sport Watches. The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jay Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield All Sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one in July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid back in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield Watches, value on merit, not just price. Check out their selection at sheffieldwatches.com and mention that you found them on Switchcast.
Hell.
90s rock reference right there. That's,
oh, man.
Whew. Name that song. Which one isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's all of the sing from the back of your throat.
Welcome back to Switchcast Season 6. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with my co-host, Tyler Sanders, and our producer, Ethan Huffnagel. We're the automotive news and entertainment show that's not just for car people. I would say leaning more towards entertainment and definitely less for car people than for... more for non-car people. I always say that. I was talking with somebody the other day, and like, well, I'm not really into cars. I'm like, our podcast would be perfect.
Yeah, it's for you.
Because if you're really into cars, then you know more than us, and you're going to call me out on all of my missteps.
I did see, Doug, that you posted a reel from your time at the Lane Motor Museum, and I saw there was one comment, and it was someone correcting you on something. It was something you said was never sold. Oh, it was the VW
XL1.
XL1
not sold to the public in the U.S. though. Yeah. See, it was sold. They sold 200 of them in Europe, but not here. So, as an American, I correctly followed what Americans are supposed to do, which is only think of ourselves and our country.
That's right.
So, if it wasn't sold in America, it wasn't sold.
Oh, perfect.
If you enjoy this podcast, you can get even more of it on Patreon. That's right. You can ask questions and watch it live, get early access and exclusive segments just for our patrons on Patreon, not our Patreoners. Go to patreon.com/switchcast. We would also appreciate it if you would support our sponsors. We are very, very careful with whom we endorse. No, who we endorse. We only endorse companies that we would use and we feel good about endorsing. And speaking of that, we have, drumroll, I know you won't believe this, we are now endorsing a transportation broker.
Oh. How much do you like risk, Doug?
I don't. And that's why we're endorsing this company.
Love it.
It's a new sponsor for season six. It is a division of Shaughnessy Overland Express, which is an enclosed transporter based out of Naples, Florida. We've been using them for years. They're one of the best that we use. And they also have a division of their company, which brokers transportation. And they have some very strict rules about who they use. I've interviewed dozens of companies and dozens of brokers about how they operate. None of them were satisfactory to me to use at all, let alone endorse. We've had a number of companies approach us about endorsing them. And when I, you know, dug into how they operate, I'm like, you're doing all the things that I wouldn't do. You're doing the things that we're eventually going to make fun of you on the podcast because a car got stolen.
Yeah.
RMS Auto Brokers, a division of Shaughnessy Overland Express, is amazing. They are not cheap. They're absolutely not cheap, but they are worth it. So check them out, soexinc.com.
Nice.
And tell them that Switchcast sent you. We will have affiliate links and all that up for, you know, a more seamless experience soon. Check them out. Again, tell them Switchcast sent you over. All right, Tyler, what is fueling this podcast?
I'm drinking a single barrel pick of Eagle Rare from somewhere in New York, I think. Very tasty. It's kind of a nice day, and I wanted something easy to drink and a little refreshing.
All right.
How about you, Doug?
I'm back to, oh man, I forgot what this stuff is called. It's the pre-made margaritas.
Oh, yeah.
Made with Tres Generaciones tequila.
Nice.
Love them. Can't get enough of them.
Sometimes you just want something refreshing that's easy.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Indeed.
I just didn't feel like bringing tonic and gin tonight. Otherwise, I'd be drinking a gin and tonic.
We have some here. Aaron's gotten really into them. So
heck yeah.
We have the Scotland, the Isla made tonic.
Ooh,
Botanist.
Nice. Yes. Botanist is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, screw this stuff. I'm going to go upstairs and get me a gin and tonic.
We have an update on the Bountiful Booty Bill, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. The NAIDA, National Independent Auto Dealers Association, has received word back that the auto loan interest deduction, where you can deduct auto loan interest on your taxes if the vehicle was final assembly was in America, I think it is. This will not apply to used vehicles. They were pushing for clarification on the language, hoping it would apply to all vehicles that qualified. Nope, only new ones. Because, of course, the stated purpose of this part of the bill is to bring manufacturing back to the USA by incentivizing debt on qualifying car loans. But it really just helps out the new car dealer constituents of the senators who sponsored this bill.
Yeah.
Who happen to have made all their money in the car business.
Shocking.
Bernie, anyway. Speaking of alcohol,
ooh,
I have a joke this week. It's an original one. I'm repurposing it, so whatever. But in automotive sort of news, Casey Putch is following in the lines of Jack Daniels and their McLaren collaborative and the Alfa Romeo Whistlepig F1 collaborative in creating his own collaborative vodka to commemorate his illustrious racing career. Did I say illustrious? I meant elusive. Anyway, this one happens to be non-alcoholic, so just like his racing career, it's got zero proof. And in somewhat new news, I was right about something. We were right about something.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Let's hear it.
Couple of articles, one from autodrive.com.bd. I don't know what country BD is, but I don't like the link because it's so many pop-ups and all sorts of stuff. I feel like I'm going to get malware from this article. There's another one on carandriver.com. Which is less pop-ups. But Ferrari finds, quote, zero buyers for electric supercar.
What? Shocking. Doug, I'm going to catch a spout of the vapors over here. I'm so surprised.
Yes. Well, let's see. According to AutoDrive, if the idea of a silent Ferrari felt odd from the start, that's because it is. Although the F80 is almost silent.
Silent from the start.
Doesn't have a good sound. The brand that built its reputation on noise, drama, and emotional chaos. What is that? Soul? Soul and passion, the yes. Italian car swear words. Ferrari sells about 15,000 cars a year. They decided to build an EV, actually two EVs. They were going to build a low production EV supercar and then a more mass production EV. They have delayed both of those. And the reasoning given, according to Reuters, is very simple, that there is zero demand. Nobody wants them.
We've talked about this before, I feel, but we are just in a period of realization as this generation of uber wealthy car enthusiasts that the
uber
speed
wealthy is that because they made their money investing in Uber early on
but
What if you're Lyft wealthy?
Trying to like build a thought, and Doug's over here like, hey,
you left me too much pause.
I'm so sorry. But, you know, speed and power for the longest time were like, those were what drove people to buy like supercars. Like, this was unattainable to normal people. I've got a ton of wealth. This is really cool. I'm going to get it. But now speed and power are commodities.
And sound and looks.
Yes.
Looks would be way up there, in my opinion.
And so the speed and power part, though, is obtainable by anybody now who can afford the payments on a Tesla Model 3.
Kia Stinger.
Yeah. So I think automakers are hopefully coming around to realizing that a gajillion dollars on some hypercar that sounds and feels and accelerates just as fast as literally every other one is not valuable to the people with the kind of money. They want the experience, the passion, the soul, the design, the what have you, that you just can't get. The vast majority of them. I'm sure there's lots of people like super into EV hypercars, but I just like, who cares?
One source told Reuters that, quote, real sustainable demand is non-existent for an electric sports car. Tell that to Jaguar, who has bet the farm on this. And somebody sent me an article about Jaguar's slipping sales. They sold like 40 cars this quarter, something abysmal like that. The number doesn't matter. It was so, so small. Basically saying the conclusion they were drawing was, oh, gee, this plan has backfired. But you have to be careful with all numbers, right? We try our best to be as unbiased as we can, even though we've been betting on Carvana's failure and EV's failure for a long time.
But the Carvana just
won't. We try to take these things and look at them like from a Freakonomics perspective of what's the real cause and effect. And with Jaguar, it's like, yeah, their sales are supposed to slip, right? They're entirely reinventing the brand. Yes. They're not going to have hardly any sales for a year until this reinvention happens. I'm still betting it's going to fail miserably, but I mean, Maserati has rolled back their EV. Audi just recently has said, nope, just kidding. They had said they were not going to spend any development money on internal combustion engines. Basically, they were done. They'd keep producing some, but not going to develop anymore. They changed their tune there. Porsche obviously has.
Yes.
Everybody has.
Porsche teased the Mission X like years ago and as kind of like the next big thing, their next hypercar. And now they've been silent.
What was that? The electric 959 kind of?
It was an all electric, like kind of like prototype race car looking thing that I think
almost
there was
forgotten
just
about that.
I looked at it and was like, I mean, that looks cool, but like, who cares? It just, so I'm, because there's a lot of clamoring on the internet about like, where is Porsche's next halo car? And I have a feeling it was supposed to be the Mission X, and then everybody rejected it and they're like, whoa, got to figure something else out.
Yeah. Ferrari's smart. We've talked about the different luxury car and supercar manufacturers' financials, and Ferrari has smoked every one of them in the last year, including Porsche.
It's all them baseball hats they're selling.
Right. Ferrari knows what they're doing, and they're going to do what the customers want. And ultimately, there is zero demand for zero emissions. And I think it's not ultimately up to the manufacturers to save the world. All they're doing is trying to comply with regulations. And the only reason Ferrari's even doing a low-volume EV coming up is to meet regulatory demands.
Gotcha.
But ultimately, it's up to the consumers to decide what is important to them. If consumers are not willing to spend money, typically extra money, to buy a quote-unquote zero emissions vehicle, then the manufacturers aren't going to make them. And it's really just that consumers don't. Well, I don't believe that EVs will save the world, but let's say either not enough people believe that EVs will save the world, or not enough people who do believe that are willing to put their money where their beliefs are.
Well, and also on the subject of these sports cars and hypercars, like, this is, unless somebody is really trying to advance the technology and learn, like a manufacturer trying to learn from it to build a more like commodity appliance car, Sports cars and hypercars and supercars that are EVs are not moving the needle from a like climate perspective.
Sure.
It's the washing machines.
And that... it's not actually right.
It's the
washing machines are what proves the viability of the technology too. Any yes. manufacturer can make 1,000 horsepower, 2,000 torque electric motor supercar and sell 200 of them.
Yes.
But can you make an electric Volkswagen Beetle?
And sell a ton of them and have them last a long time and be reliable, dependable transportation to mobilize the people and whatever it means for our next stage of transportation as we try to be kind to the planet. Like, that's where it matters. This is like going after shops for, like, installing used cats on a car to try to get it. Like, who cares? Like, this isn't... What are you doing?
Yeah.
So,
well... That's something we were right about.
Yeah.
Here's something I was wrong about. Carvana stock. This is our shrewd negotiator segment. I don't know why, but we'll just call it that. Carvana stock is up to over $300 a share again. That company who shorted it last year, was it Hindenburg Research?
Yes.
Well, appropriately named, right?
And Heidelberg, their report something. Was like crazy. There was so much like stuff that felt real enough and researched enough. Like, I think they had an angle, but also, I don't know.
I think they're feeling the pain big time. We definitely are, because 2 years ago, we were making fun of them while they were at $4 or $5 a share.
Oh, my God.
I think we should have just bought them just on a lark to see what
life savings into Carvana.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thing, though. I'm not going to dwell on this. We've talked about Carvana a lot, but Carvana is proving two things, I think. One is that big gambles and heavy leverage works when it works. Okay?
For sure.
So debt works when everything goes right.
Yes.
And they've bet heavily. They've bet the farm on their business model, which is growth. And two, they've gotten two, no, that's one, sorry. They've gotten two incredible bailouts. One is COVID, when the used car market went bananas. And two is the recent tariffs, which is causing the used car market to go bananas. I think if they did not get those unintentional bailouts by the government, Carvana would be belly up by now because of their debt load, not because of their business model, because of their debt load. I believe in Carvana's business model as the future of automotive transactions. I do not believe in Carvana's growth at all costs, leverage the farm in order to make it happen. Two, I'm still not sure about their numbers. I can't back it up and I'm not going to try anymore, but I'm just going to give you one data point, right? So their quarter one numbers were crazy, tons of profit, stock through the roof. We looked at a Porsche Cayenne today.
Okay.
Carfax/Cox Automotive, which is two of the largest data gatherers in the country for automotive transactions, say that retail is 39 and change, 39 grand. Wholesale is 32. A Porsche dealer bid 27.5 because they had to factor in all the service to certify it.
For sure.
We were thinking 32, right? That's Mannheim MMR. The guy has an offer from Carvana for $39,000.
Oh, how?
Yet their recent financials state that their average gross per unit is $7,000.
Wow.
I'm just going to leave that there and go, something's funny. Maybe someday we'll find out what it is.
I'm so excited for that day. But I still get those emails from Carvana because we put our cars in at the end of last year for like, hey, what is it worth? They would pay me $18,500 for my 911. And they're assuming it has like 112,000 miles on it. And it has a little bit less than that. That seems wild for Carvana to.
So they would have to sell it for $25,500 with no recon.
Yeah.
To meet their average GPU.
Which is wild.
I don't see it. Another stock, though, I learned this week, thanks to a hot tip from a listener, there is a stock called Ultima Energy.
No, wait, what?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. And it is big. Well, sort of. It's a penny stock. But it's Ultimate big Energy pennies, guys. Compared to Carvana, let's see. Ultimate Energy is up 2,900% over the last 5 years. They are down 85%-ish since their IPO, though. They are, by definition, penny stock. Their share price today was 30 cents. But if you put, let's see, if you sold a Nissan Altima in 2020 and put that money, we'll say 20 grand, into Altima Energy, you'd have $580,000 today.
I wonder what this business actually is.
Which, crazily enough, is the same amount. If you put 20 grand in Carvana at its IPO, you'd have just about the same amount of money, because Carvana is up approximately 2,900% as well over all time.
Oof.
Yeah. Let that sink in. Big Altima Energy could be a great investment. Or it's a pump and dump. I don't know. I don't know.
Nuts for Sticks is a brand celebrating the manual transmission in all its forms. So forget those flappy paddles, because we like shifting ourselves. Check out our fun and funny stick themed shirts at nutsforsticks.com and save 10% on your order using the discount code SWITCHCAST. That's nutsforsticks.com and use code SWITCHCAST. Doug, I thought this article was wild.
It is pretty wild. It's just another car crash at its outset, but there's more than meets the eye, in my opinion. The article is from IonTB.com, which is a local Florida news website. The title is Clearwater Men Arrested After High-Speed Crash in Largo. And there's a photo of a demolished Audi R8. Looks like a recent late model V10.
And a Mazda crossover on its roof.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yep. So let's look at this article. So, of course, high-speed crash, right? All right. Speed's mentioned right off the bat, as it usually is. A Clearwater man was arrested following a crash that occurred at approximately 8:30 p.m. on Friday, May 2nd. Police say 54-year-old Lance Hidalgo was driving an Audi at a high rate of speed. There it is again. Speed is a factor. Rapidly changing lanes and following other vehicles too closely before colliding with another car. Witnesses estimated Hidalgo's speed between 60 and 80 mpH in a posted 35.
Oh,
I would allege, based on our discussion last week about speed and people not being able to estimate, that if they said it was 60 to 80, it was probably 80 to 100.
Oh, yes, because our perception gets a little wonky.
Yes. But
yes, that dude was cooking.
The impact caused the victim's Mazda to overturn and come to rest on its roof.
It's like, how do you have to hit somebody for that to happen? Like, golly.
The victim sustained two lacerations to the head. Hidalgo admitted to causing the crash and said he was running late to an event.
Yes.
Officers reported that Hidalgo showed several signs of impairment. Okay. Though he claimed he had not consumed alcohol in the previous 24 hours.
Ah.
That's what they all say. A medical blood draw indicated a BAC of 0.319.
So does.
I couldn't go to bed if I was at 0.319, let alone drive a car.
Doug, I got some numbers.
Okay.
There is a website called calculator.net. So this is very reliable. There's numbers. And they have a blood alcohol concentration calculator.
Okay.
So for me,
I know that you think all I can do, I know that you people think, not Tyler knows I'm smarter than this, that all I can do is sell cars. I took a C++ programming class.
Oh, you did?
At Case Western Reserve University.
Oh, nice.
Where I attended. I programmed a BAC calculator.
Oh, really?
Yes. Nice. I wrote code for that.
I actually didn't know this guy wrote code. Heck yeah. So this calculator asks you to put in a body weight and gender and a time since your first drink. So I entered for me 180 pounds, 6 hours. I did 6 hours because I was feeling kind, because I knew this was a lot of alcohol. So in order to reach a 0.31% BAC, I would have to consume an entire 750 milliliter bottle of whiskey in 6 hours. And that sounds horrific. I would be dead if I did that. A whole bottle.
I think halfway through, I'd be too drunk for the glass to find my mouth.
I know. I'd be vomiting. I'd be like,
good
this.
Golly.
So I, and 6 hours, this whole thing.
Oh my goodness.
So that, because I was curious, because when I've always heard people call out, you know, BAC, because it is the metric we use, but I didn't have any context for like how bad that was. You have the comparison to the legal limit, but like, how bad is it? This is horrible.
0.31 is insane.
How could he even, there were signs of impairment. This website says.
Flashing bright red and yellow signs.
Further down on the website, if you scroll, in the 0.3 range, it says you will have stupor, central nervous system depression, loss of understanding, lapses in and out of consciousness, bladder function is impaired, breathing is impaired, you have disequilibrium, and your heart rate is all jacked. So like, oh yeah, there were signs of impairment. Dude was like barely holding it together.
You know, that tells me though, those are probably really good cops. Because they're just like under, right? I've seen some of these videos, the dash cam or body cam videos where they are doing DUI tests on people that all of us on the bench can just see, like, they're hammered.
Yes.
And they're going through the process totally professionally. And like, they'll crack a snarky joke every now and then. And that's probably what they're showing signs of impairment.
Just
here's the rub. Records show previous DUI arrests in 2020, 2019, and 2008.
Why is this dude still on the road? Get him out of here. He can't be trusted. Like, wild.
I have words. I don't understand why this is okay. And this is not an isolated incident, right? In order to get what we call party plates in Ohio, which is DUI plates, it's not like I got one DUI. I think you have to have had like three or four convictions. There's multiple stories about people who were waiting to face trial for one DUI when they go out and unalive somebody with another DUI crash. A guy I knew in high school had like, he had actually killed one of his classmates. They were out back roads, drunk, flipped his truck, and he was waiting to face charges with that one. And he was still out driving drunk, street racing, like all this different stuff over and over again. And I'm like, how? I know the justice system has to like give people fair trial, defense, stuff like that. But my goodness, how is this okay that people can do this over and over and over again and not have their license taken away for life?
Like at this point, this dude just shouldn't be driving anymore. Banned entirely, thrown in jail, something like. At what point, is there any point in any of the 50 states where you get your license revoked for too many DUIs? Should I actually look that up?
Not permanently that I know. I don't know if there's much of anything that will revoke your license permanently. People think that you should for speeding, but I just... How is the headline... Arrested after high-speed crash in Largo. One more case of people being biased to dislike people who are driving fast or speeding. The headline should read, multiple offender wrecks when he's friggin' hammered.
Yes. Because even if the title is factual, it's telling the wrong story.
chronic drunk driver, habitual drunk driver, wrecks again.
Like, what? God. I just get
There's
this guy.
There's 100 different headlines. Mm.
Like, this Mazda is on its roof. How does that happen?
I mean, it's not that hard. There could have just been a curb there, and it's not that hard to flip a
car. But still. I don't know. It's insane. The amount of alcohol that needed to be consumed if this person, if I was in this situation, is wild. I could not function, and I would not even step near a car.
Well, we don't know what his license plate was, but there are some great license plates out there.
There sure are, Doug.
Yes, and the victim of this crash, I think, was fine. I think they said they had lacerations, hopefully, if they have any ongoing injuries, they could go see Alan Hoover at Soul and Spine. And, get those worked out and actually recover fully. And they could probably get those medical bills from Soul and Spine paid for by this guy's insurance, because he's probably rich. He owns a pool company and drives an R8 V10. So there's probably a massive settlement coming. Rightly so. Absolutely rightly so. But if you are also feeling some pain in your back, whether or not it's a result of being hit by somebody in an R8, you could also feel better because of Soul and Spine.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was pretty smooth. You're getting better at this, Doug.
SoulandSpine.com. we've got some license plate. The plate to sample game, which is brought to you by Soul and Spine, is where we have to guess the car that belongs to these vanity plates. This is not scripted. This is a blind game. How good are we at stereotypes?
Did someone accuse this of being scripted?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought that was because somebody
was... We have
was...
never been accused okay. of that. It is patently obvious. We're Thank not. Gosh. So, here we go. I only have three tonight.
Oh, I have five.
You can have all your five. My three tonight are all ones that I have seen on Old Mill Road on my way home. Sorry to the people who have submitted awesome submissions. I went with these three.
Doug, are you putting yourself in front of the people? How could you do such a thing?
Putting myself
the fans. Are you saying your plates are more important?
Oh, ahead
of the
people. No, it's just a Doug week. they were really good. They're really good. All right. You start since you have five.
One of mine is one that I saw in person. Okay. First one for you. Off Rodeo. Spelled O.
Bronco.
Yes.
And it's got some mods to go off.
I think it kind of does. It might be a Bronco like Raptor or something.
That was way too easy.
Thank you, Christian P. All mine, except for the one, I believe that the one that I, have is submitted to me from switchcast.live. So if you want to send me a plate, because I'm not as popular as Doug on social media, you can head there, upload photos, little description. I look through them every week for this, and I love the bountiful choices that I have. So thank you.
Sinner with two R's at the
Sinner.
End.
Altima.
No.
Mm. Oh, I do have to think of context. I know the location of where this car is. Like, who would drive that plate around here? That's a Mustang.
Closer.
Oh, okay. Camaro.
Yes.
Ooh, all right.
A Camaro SS, which I have no idea what sinner has to do with a Camaro SS.
Because they're bad, Doug.
But it should have been sinner. SS oh, inner.
Yes.
Sinner. Like, yeah. Why did you not do that?
No, that's
sinner
a good point.
Would be like a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, like a blacked out Rolls. Oh, nice. Next up for you is LAYNPIP, layin' pipe.
Not layin' pip. is that, I think I've guessed this before, is that a porta potty service
no,
mobile?
No, but that would also be good. And you're really close.
Is it a plumber's truck?
Yes.
Like a Ford Transit van or utility truck?
It's not like a transit van, but it's some beefy truck that is. It's got some like piping supplies on them. So it's a good time. Thank you, Lori W., for that.
Okay, I sort of have four, so whatever. All right, here's one. coexist, although the S is a 5 because I think somebody else already had it.
So, like, what cars do you always see those bumper stickers on? That's like a Toyota Corolla, like, no. From 2005.
Oh, okay. No.
Honda Fit.
Nope.
Am I, like, close at all? What is this? What is Nissan Murano?
Nope.
What is it?
It's a Cadillac XT6.
Really?
Yes.
That's... Okay.
I was baffled when I saw it. It has zero bumper stickers.
Well, it's got the big one. It's got the right there.
I did not expect that one. I saw it. I'm like, that should be on a Prius.
All right. Next up for you, Doug. No big deal, spelled as NB deal.
Mazda. I am 3 for 3, 4 for 4, whatever. I am on tonight.
Thank you, Tyler.
NB Miata.
Not me, Tyler. Other more different Tyler.
All right. This one, another local one sold by Ruby Auto Group. I know because of plate frame. He paid for it. HEPD number 4 IT. He paid for it.
That is a Mercedes convertible.
No.
An Escalade.
No.
This is... like a Tahoe?
No.
What is it?
No, it's one of the mini Jeep Wranglers.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, he sure did pay
for it. Not Wrangler, Cherokee, like okay. The small one.
Yeah,
that's not a real Cherokee anymore. It's a little tiny thing. Hmm. But there's a loan on it. So past tense is incorrect. It's more like he's paying for it.
That's good. I like that.
Also, I looked it up and Carfax says retail on their vehicle is $16,900, but they paid $22,000 this year.
Oh,
so
boy.
Maybe the plate should read he overpaid for it. It's also financed with Santander, who is the nation's largest subprime lender. I love that I can get all this from the plate.
This is amazing.
So this is why people put their thumb in front of plates. So they're really overpaying for it.
Although, holy moly.
Although, hold on. This could also be a religious thing, right? Because Jesus paid for their sins. Because Christians love their vanity plates. I guess though, although if they're pointing to God, they should be called humility plates, maybe grace plates, but hold
Ethan
on.
Ethan is going to leave. Think of it.
No,
you'll like this Ethan. Man over here.
You'll like this. All right. So it's with Santander, right? Subprime. They overpaid probably 25% interest. So, but if their plate is, he paid for it like Jesus. If that's the case and the car gets repoed, then did Jesus take the wheel or he took their wheels?
That one's pretty good.
We really came back around. That was a good...
Really reaching for that. Good, though.
Come on. He paid for it on a Jeep that you're financed with subprime lender. What did he... Maybe it's like he really paid for it. He's
like, boy, howdy. Alrighty, Doug. Next up for you, BFNKLN, which I'm pretty sure means Ben Franklin.
Not like beef and kiln?
No, I'm pretty sure it's Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin? A Ford Model T?
No, but closer than I thought you were going to be on your first guess.
Old Packard?
No. The other part.
Oh, Franklin Automobile.
No, that's a good guess, but it is not. It's an F-150 Lightning, because he with the
I'm I don't know real how Ford Model T is close to that
because it's a Ford.
Okay,
I expect you to be like way off in left field.
Well, I really appreciate that plate.
No, I
dug
like it.
The like mind game plates.
Yes.
All right. So, speaking of number plates. I'll give you one. You probably can't guess it, but there's an interesting story behind this. It's a UK plate, 1GR.
Is that like Toyota's press fleet plate for their
I don't know.
GR.
But it sold
stuff.
For 250,000 British pounds sterling, which is like $7 million with the current exchange rate, on collectingcars.com.
Wait, somebody sold a plate on Collecting Cars?
They sell a lot of plates.
Really?
Yeah.
I do know that that's a huge
deal
yeah.
over there because they're lifetime. They follow the car. But I don't understand. I don't understand why that is so much. Like, I am all about vanity plates, but I don't think I'd ever spend more than $100 for one.
That is wild.
That's a house for a license plate. I mean, that's a lot of vanity.
Can we look up what it's attached to now?
Probably. I just sold, so it might take a bit to hit the system. We'll follow up later.
On a future warm-up lap, coming to a podcast near you.
All right, last one.
Last one for you is adieu.
Dodge Viper.
No.
Corvette ZR1. Something
negative.
That's a street racer mobile, right? It's got drag radials on it.
No.
Isn't adieu like goodbye?
It is, but this is spelled a little differently. I just didn't give you the hint right away.
How is it spelled?
A-U-D-I-E-U. That, my friend,
BMW
is an all-black Audi RS5 that I spotted on the highway with one of those little police badge things covering like the A in the plate.
So maybe they street race. Maybe
they
it's
probably
tuned,
do.
Whatever.
I mean, it's an RS5. It's probably making 800 bajillion horsepower. And
yes. Yes.
It's stage 4. Or,
man, okay. I got a lot of points tonight.
You did. I'm failed.
Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, consign, service, and store only cars that we like ourselves. Well, we'll store anything that pays the bill, except EVs. We're not going to store EVs, and we definitely don't sell them either. Anyway, check out our hand-picked inventory at switchcars.com and mention discount code SWITCHCAST for your special pricing. That's right, check out our hand-picked inventory at switchcars.com. Thank you for joining us for SwitchCast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. SwitchCast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.